Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Birmingham, Alabama, you're listening to Conclave Radio.
Welcome to Conclave Radio, episode 31.
31. Yep.
We have come so far in all these episodes. I didn't think we'd make it this far, but here we are, past the big 3-0.
Here we are. Somebody is missing.
Yeah. If you've noticed, I don't sound like the Clint Johnson. He's actually in Hawaii currently. Because
surfing lava?
Probably. We warned him, but he's still there. But yeah, he's in Hawaii instead of doing the show because he
priorities, man.
He says that's better, but I'm gonna have to disagree. Instead of episode 31, who would go to Hawaii over Conclave Radio?
Who would go to Hawaii during an active volcano?
That's a better question. Probably.
That's an experience.
Okay.
But he can say that he's been to Hawaii during
a volcano.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, to make up for Clint not being here, we do have a couple guests with us. You may know Mr. Cole Hughes. He's been on the show before. That's our applause button. And new on the show... because he's been wanting to come on an episode like this, we have Blake. What's your last name? Blake.
The infamous Blake. What is your last name, Cook?
Yes. Perfect. Anyway, it's okay. It's a laughing matter. But anyway, we decided that this week is going to be another geek episode because Clint's not here. Since a couple more movies came out, I have a new theory about Avengers 4, and maybe a couple other nerdy topics because that's big spoiler alert if you haven't seen any of the recent films or if you don't want to hear our theories that may or may not be spoilers. So big spoiler warning. Or just go see the movies. Go see Solo. Go see Deadpool. Go see...
No. Being a slacker. No. Said by the person.
Go see Solo. Everyone go see Solo. Anyway, usually this is the part where we would recap the week that was, but there was no week that was because it was Memorial Day. It was Memorial Day weekend.
Yay.
We decided to... Yay. Right. It was...
Awkward. Because you never want to say yay. Because you're like,
we can turn any of our awkward moments of silence into.
That one might have deserved a moment.
Yeah,
of silence.
We can take a second. Support the troops a second.
For this Memorial Day, instead of having the conclave, we're going to have a moment of silence for about 5 seconds if we can get through it. Go now. Thank you for all the veterans. Yeah.
Who would we celebrate on Veterans Day?
Who we celebrate on Veterans Day? What?
Memorial Day.
Thank you for all people that paid for Veterans Day. For Memorial Day.
Maybe I shouldn't be the co-host. Honestly. This gives me so much anxiety, guys. And I'm the only one talking right now.
Okay, well then let's get into
then
it.
Then let's get into
let's
the
start with
big
solo, because honestly,
we're
going to get into solo. You start with the good stuff.
Okay.
The happy, unrealistic stuff. And then
this is Star Wars, sir. Everything's unrealistic.
And then we can shoot it down from there.
Make I'm hoping to rebuild it back first. Up. So Solo, I think, was pretty good. It obviously was not... In the episode, it was a Star Wars story, talked about the origin of Han Solo becoming a smuggler and how he met Chewbacca and how he got the Millennium...
Happy
first, Blake!
Okay.
The Millennium Falcon and Lando Calrissian was in there. I thought it was an interesting story.
The Kessel Run.
That was amazing to watch because there were so many like references... In the
that you can enjoy because you're like, oh,
now you
my nerd heart.
Now you get
a solo
it.
Movie, you have to do the Kessel Run. Like you have to do the Kessel Run. But like, this is literally the movie that nobody asked for. Like literally nobody asked for that. We want Old Republic.
Isn't that what Star Wars stories are though? We didn't ask for these movies.
We do want the Bubba before we want the
Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Would have been
Boba
good
Fett.
To
I'm ready.
Right.
I'm ready.
I would have had Boba Fett.
I'm ready
first.
For it.
But they kind of have to set the stage. For a Boba Fett movie.
No, and they want to make an Obi-Wan movie. I think they're going
to
make an Obi-Wan movie.
They have to make an
Obi-Wan
movie. After the end of Solo, they have to have.
Yes, that's what I was talking about.
They have to have Obi.
So that's what we're going to talk about later. But anyway, back to Solo being amazing. I think the way that Han met Chewie was pretty interesting, and I thought it was a pretty good way. What happened was,
okay.
For some of you... I was about to go non-spoiler, but I realized this is spoiler.
It's spoiler.
Yeah,
so
spoiler.
So
throw it out there.
Han is spoiler. Han goes and joins the Empire because he wants to be a great pilot, but he never actually becomes a pilot. He's always in infantry because, you know, that's how it works. But he tries to what does he try to do? He tries to like leave or join this.
Okay.
The smugglers.
Going up to the smuggler. Let me start right there. Okay, so
he took his chance.
So it started with this is like so for Han to escape where the movie started off,
mm-hmm.
he had to actually join the Empire,
mm-hmm.
and from there, apparently, and that would have been the most interesting thing to show was. His connection to the Empire, him in training.
His time in that 3-year gap that we never saw.
This is basically where he got his pilot training, mm-hmm. and we saw none of that. Like, they didn't show any of it. But they go, he gets kicked out of, I guess, the pilot part.
I think he just didn't make it.
He
was like, we'll have you a pilot in no time.
But the only explanation was, well, because I had my own brain. So, okay, fine. I'll take that.
Yeah,
face
value. That's true.
So, it starts off with him infantry in a war, and the war was awesome. Like,
mm-hmm.
the CGI and everything, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's where it introduces this crime syndicate.
Which I think is interesting.
Which is where he starts his true
mm-hmm.
heist Han, as we know.
Like,
that's the origin of the heist in Han.
This
even though he started
heist crew within the infantry, it's like they're in disguise or something.
Right.
And that's him trying to get out of...
The Empire's...
Yeah. To do his
infantry.
Own thing and what he wants
right.
to do, but
right.
I thought that was interesting. And then they wouldn't let him, so they said, we're going to feed you to the beast. And then I was like, this is going to be interesting, and then I heard the beast go, and I was like, oh boy! So I thought that was pretty cool, and then they... and then Han, I think that was probably my favorite part in the movie, where he's making those noises, and Han goes, and he got really confused, and he's like, yeah, I can speak a little bit of Wookiee.
Yeah.
And he's just, and just, there's at least 2 minutes of this movie where he goes, oh, to Chewbacca. Yeah.
Because every time we see him talking to Chewie, it's always in, like,
mm-hmm.
common tongue English.
Yeah.
So, like, that was cool to see him actually speaking Wookiee.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, that was cool.
Anyway, they had an idea.
It gave him that, like, initial bond, like, real
yeah.
quick. Like, he got thrown in the pit with Chewie, so Chewie could... kill him, but then he's basically speaking in Wookiee saying, don't kill me.
Yeah, and then they got a plan to get out of that cage, which I thought was interesting. And then there's, like, the life debt thing. So, because after that, he was like, you're free to go. You can do whatever you want. But instead, Chewbacca just totally stays with Han Solo and goes through this.
But I don't think that was the life debt part, though.
I don't know. That's interesting,
because,
though,
like, he didn't really save his life. He just kind of broke him out of a cage.
Yeah.
Like, fast forward, like, when he actually saved his life was when they were, like, trying to steal the fuel, which we've never even had reference before how important it was. And that's what this whole movie was about,
uh-huh,
was this, like, hyperfuel. But, like, the only time he really saved his life in the movie was when Chewie's about to, like, fall off the train, like, that particular train
car
they were trying to steal.
Mm-hmm. And then Chewie comes back and actually, I'm pretty sure he just totally saves Han and Lando in, like, the prison break part. Like, where they're at, where they actually have, they're getting the unrefined fuel.
Yeah.
This is later on after that heist, because they totally lose it all.
Yeah. Here's another thing. Like, don't get attached to any of the characters in this movie.
Yeah. There's more death than
except
you
think. For Han and
Lando. Except for, you know, Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Exactly.
The ones that show up in
Han,
the episode.
Han
but
and Chewie are the only characters.
But Star Wars is becoming a superhero universe, because apparently people don't die.
All amateurs. All these amateurs are dying off. There's there's no like Jedi like super training or anything. These are all amateurs.
In fact, I'm pretty sure this is the first Star Wars movie. This is the first Star Wars movie that didn't have C-3PO and R2-D2. So that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Not one lightsaber.
They had one R2 droid in the background.
Yeah, but that wasn't.
And then
that was just an R2 droid.
Yeah, that wasn't even.
I do think the cast was great in the movie. Like, overall.
It was terrible.
No, it wasn't.
It was terrible.
I will say.
Except Donald Glover, the guy who played
Donald
Lando,
Glover was my favorite part
of
the whole movie.
He did an awesome line.
My least favorite part of the whole movie was the actor for Han, but I didn't think he was all that bad at the same time.
He was.
How
does
follow Harrison Ford?
Replicate an actor, but you can still do what you can to replicate like the character.
Well, he's looking.
And like Han,
you can only get so close. I wasn't worried.
Harrison Ford, you know, as Han is like straight hair, swooped across, and everything. This guy's got like curly hair. He's like happy-go-lucky.
He's not charming.
Like Han Solo is like this charming jerk, and this guy was just like. Like, you really liked this guy. Like, he didn't say
he's
anything.
He's a good guy, quote.
Exactly.
From
we don't want
to
good
guy. They made him the good guy that helped the rebellion.
And they even said that at one point. Like,
yeah, they
said
that was the quote
movie,
from the movie.
She was like, you're a good guy.
And
please,
I'm like, well,
get out of here.
Well,
no, he's not.
Isn't this the typical storyline? Good guy learns the lesson about being the good guy because he watches everybody around him die.
That's basically
what happens. And he becomes jaded.
Happened.
And then
you know,
he finally discovers in the episodes, the original episodes, oh, hey, I can be a good guy again. Like, it's a full story arc. So it's okay for him
but
to be a good guy in this one.
No!
Because he does a full story arc.
Because I guess, like, the only story arc that I could see to him, like, being a good guy and then being, like, this the Han that we know later on.
It gave me,
like
a really weird Galactic Robin Hood feel. Because he's doing all this crime, you know, he's helping the rebellions.
But he was only doing the crime at first,
like,
so like he and his girlfriend, like the love interest of the story, which you can't even believe because you know he doesn't end up with this chick, Kira.
No, yeah, like
you can't believe
it. You know,
like every bit of tension in this movie, every bit of tension you can't believe. You can't believe any of the tension
from the beginning.
Like,
I thought she. And out of all the characters who died, she was not one of the ones who died. She just flew off into space. Hi, Michelle Gann.
I need to talk to you afterwards.
We're talking about the movie Solo, spoiler alert, by the way.
I've seen it, and I liked it.
She liked it!
She's never seen any other Star Wars! No, absolutely not. That opinion does not count.
Okay, you don't count.
Exactly.
No,
thank you.
Now you can interrupt him just like he interrupted you.
Yeah.
The bad.
I figure we were just
we
at this point we're just going down the synopsis of the story and we're just gonna debate about it.
All right, so we got the initial part where he becomes,
you know, a good guy.
We'll go back to the heist part, which sets up the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the heist is basically set up. He gets with his crime.
30. Okay. We're good.
Crime syndicate. And they fail the mission, so they go back to the head of this crime syndicate.
That was a monster, just for reference.
And they have to tell him that they failed to get this hyperfuel that they needed. So then they come up with this idea how to steal unrefined hyperfuel,
which
and
is
then,
even riskier, and then they got to get it refined after that.
Yeah, and then bring it back to the guy.
Which is the Kessel Run.
It is the Kessel Run, but at least the Kessel Run was finally explained, because how the old Star Wars set it up,
mm-hmm.
The Kessel Run always seemed like measurements of time instead of
distance,
which has always been the biggest hole of that whole major story behind Han. But at least that was explained. It actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Not time, it's distance.
Yeah, that's what I was always confused on what that was, but I really enjoyed it. That was probably my favorite part of the whole movie, was just that
5 minutes of the Kessel Run.
Yeah.
All CGI.
Basically,
where you see an Empire
where
destroyer
where he finally
launches a couple ships.
Where he finally gets in
that was awesome.
Pilot's chair of the Millennium Falcon and flies it for the first time, and then Chewie comes out of nowhere, and then it was good. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. It was good.
I mean, it was good to have it on the big screen. That was the only thing that was good about it.
Mm.
They just jump through this smoky wall, and then bad stuff happens. And then, of course, you have to have a giant space monster.
There's a humongous space monster that goes in a gravity
hole. But again, there's
no
tension, because Chewie and Han's on the ship. They're on the Millennium Falcon. You know nothing bad's going to happen.
That's true.
That's
the thing.
You know
the
tentacle is about to knock it out of the sky.
You're not that anxious, because they're about to do it.
And then, of course, there's this giant black gravity, or I'm sorry, red gravity hole sucking everything into it. And again, there's no
red
tension
gravity
on
hole
there.
And a smoke wall with a giant monster.
Exactly.
It's pretty much the whole thing.
That's the Kessel one. That's it right there.
Yep.
That is really it. And
so the worst part for me, because I haven't seen it, because I chose not to, because I'm that guy. I've spent most of my childhood reading fan fiction, so
mm-hmm.
I'm aware of all the storylines they could have pulled from, and they didn't.
Any of them. None.
Nothing. You're like, really? You had genius that put together all this fan fiction, and nothing.
Nothing.
Hmm. So I'm disappointed in Disney.
It's you're right. It's the whole point of this movie was one, to sell money, but I think the only part of this movie that mattered was the last 10, 15 minutes. I think it's the only part of the movie that actually matters.
So Netflix it and watch the last 10 minutes and you'll be good.
I think the story itself was good. Now what you're trying to talk about is Greg, calm down. I don't know. You've pinned me against the wall, and I feel I'm anxious to talk.
Let's talk about the big spoiler at the end.
Yes.
The biggest part of the movie.
Because closer to the end, there are a lot of references.
Oh, let's
check
the girlfriend real quick
about.
First, though, so that makes sense.
Who?
The girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, the girlfriend, Kira.
Kira, yeah.
So, somehow, after he's with this crime syndicate, and they have to go tell the person who hired the crime syndicate that they don't have any of the, what is the stuff they were trying to get?
The hyperfuel.
Turns out that main guy, I don't know any of their names, because they're all alien.
Hashtag xenophobe.
Anyway, turns out
the big boss with the vibro brothers.
Yeah, the big boss, Vision. The boss Vision. turns out that one of his assistants, or I was confused
She's
on what
lieutenant.
She was.
She was lieutenant.
So Kira is the lieutenant for this guy, and that's how her and Han meet back up after 3 years, which is so random, and it's one of those things that's that's convenient because it's a movie.
Yeah, she just came up out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then they talk about how they're going to go get a ship and they're going to go get the new unrefined fuel. And he's like, okay, you can go with him. And I'm like, oh, look, another convenient stuff. Way to go, movie.
But that love story.
That's how it works.
Yeah, so they started off, the beginning of the movie is him and his girl being snatchers and going out. And that's, I guess, the crime, initial crime part to Han before the actual heisting of stuff he does. So he's,
small crime.
Yeah. And then they try to break free, and she gets held back. He escapes, and she can't. And then they meet up 3 years later.
Conveniently.
Conveniently.
And, like, they, there was nothing, it did not surprise me that she ended up turning on him. Because for the entire movie, they kept saying, you don't know what she's done. She's bad news. You don't know her.
Yeah, the guy's saying
he's
you
like,
can't trust anybody.
Like,
yeah.
And Han Solo
is
basically saying, bet. And they go through the movie, get toward the end, and she says, and when at the end they're about to leave, she says, I'm right behind you. And I say in my head, no, you're not.
No.
You know, like, it's obviously no, she's not.
No.
And then turns out after the big boss guy dies,
she kills him.
She
with
kills
her epic,
him.
What is it, Kiyoshi? Does she use Kiyoshi?
I would not know.
I think it's Kiyoshi.
Okay.
That martial arts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what it's
called. I just liked his razor blades because they lit up like lightsaber edges. It was neat. Anyway, he dies and she's, quote, right behind him, but she's not. And she, like, puts on this hologram. Turns out she's working for someone who's, like, higher than the boss man. You can't tell because he's got, like, a red lightsaber and a hood on. And we're like, whoa.
Coming out of his head.
Who's, yeah. And
who
takes his hood off.
Be?
You know, it's someone that you saw got sliced in half, you know, years ago with robot legs now. Because that's, I mean, honestly, it was really cool.
Darth Maul.
It was Darth Maul. It was really cool. It was probably... Take back what I said. It was probably my favorite part of the movie.
By far.
Because
the only good part of the movie.
and
he had 90 seconds of screen time.
I actually learned something.
And it was
really
a hologram,
cool.
CGI.
Yeah, it's the weirdest cameo that, like, that means so much in such a small movie. But anyway, like, I found something out. So he's played by the same, physically he's played by the same character who played him in Phantom Menace. But he was voiced by the person who voiced him in the animated TV shows.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is
interesting
going
sure.
to Rebellion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Going into Rebellion.
Like, to have the Rebellion guy voice him. Because
that's really canon now. That means
I wonder if
all
that's
those
like a
animated
small
TV
Easter,
shows
yeah,
that
I wonder if that's like an Easter
not all the adult people
there.
Watch.
Yeah.
Most adult people watch. That means it's canon. But I still...
Can be canon.
I don't think it's going to be canon.
Really?
They've done nothing canon.
That's fair enough. I mean, I haven't watched them.
None of this is
I've only watched a few episodes, but...
Old Republic, if they do Old Republic, that needs to be canon.
That would be good.
That has to be canon.
But,
you know, Darth Maul shows up, and...
With robot legs, he's got his double lightsaber.
Yeah. Which then, was different, the lightsaber.
Yeah,
was
it,
a
it
different
looked different.
Lightsaber.
It had, like, a cool little... swish on the side.
Yeah, kind of like a guard over the handle part of it.
More, and talking about threatening, just a side comment. I think Star Wars is the home of people that own threatening masks but don't have threatening faces. I think that's Star Wars' motto. Because first you got Kylo Ren, you know, he's really freaky. I'm like, whoa, he takes his mask off and he's lame.
Yeah.
Honestly,
he's
I was scared. So less threatened.
Yeah.
And then in Solo, you got this. What were they called? This clan or whatever, or this other crime syndicate.
The Martyrs.
The Martyrs or something.
Martyrs.
And they got this weird tribal thing going on. He's got a crazy mask. Takes it off, and it looks like a 12-year-old girl with freckles.
And it, like,
I was. It's just lame all of a sudden.
It was, and they gave that shot, like, the extra, like, shock factor, like, oh, it's a girl. Like,
and she looked scared.
It wasn't like that at all. Like, yeah, it wasn't like this big, shocking, revealing moment that they tried to make
it.
Really,
I was kind of disappointed. I was like, ugh.
And
that, apparently that's the beginning of what the Rebellion actually is.
Yeah.
Which I thought was also interesting.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty
that,
cool, but I
that
thought...
he inadvertently helped the very beginning
yeah.
of that. But at the same time, like, this is Han, And so, like, a couple years ago, a year ago, whatever, he's arguing over 500-600 credits worth of this one little vial of hyperfuel. Mm-hmm. Then he just
gives away 600 million credits worth.
I think it was 60 million. Either way. Crazy.
He would not give away 600.
No, he went just to be nice.
Yeah.
And they were just nice enough to give him one little.
Good guy.
Yeah, please, get out of here. That's not all. He's going to barter with them, be like, if you want this, you know, I'm going to need something.
I still think it was good.
Of course, Lando already flew up in the Falcon, so like that.
Yeah, Lando Calrissian was my favorite part of the whole movie. I think Donald Glover totally portrayed him so well. He spoke like him, and I thought that really sounds like, you know, what you remember him
that
from.
That very beginning
was
like, oh, that's Lando. Like he looked perfectly like Lando, but the voice, perfect. Such a good Lando.
And any movie with a good old poker scene is pretty good. There was two of them in this movie, which made it. Which also explains how Han gets a hold of the Millennium Falcon. It was at the very, very end, but it explains how he got the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, but now they can't meet up again. And it doesn't make sense because, like, later on, when do they meet up back again?
In Cloud City, Episode 5?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So they meet back up again, and it's supposedly this...
Is it the first time they meet up after that, though?
Yeah.
Do you think?
It has to be. It has to be because it's that
a
big moment of,
there.
Oh, you got the nerve showing up here after what you did, after he, like, cheated him out of the Falcon, after he cheated Han out of it in the first place. So, like, either they'll show back up again together and then...
Go through the same crap.
Yeah, it would have to be the same exact thing. Because they're supposed to be...
It's possible.
And who falls for that a fifth time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it would have to be done the exact same way. So either they never see each other again, or they see each other again and whatever...
It stresses the visibility.
And it's the same exact thing we just saw in Hollywood.
So overall, I think it was a good movie. And it did have its flaws, but I think it was really entertaining. Overall, honestly, it was really interesting. It was an interesting
movie. The
concept
behind giving us Han's backstory.
Yeah.
Was cool.
And all the references.
Let's go with, it could have been a whole lot worse.
And it could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
And it could.
It felt like Star Wars.
It could have been better.
It felt like Star Wars.
That's the thing I love about the story is that it expands the universe and, like, everything in it.
So that's all you should ask of a movie.
It's not expanding.
Feel like Star Wars, don't kill any of the characters.
Okay, this one didn't expand, but it...
Rogue One
explained
it.
Even though people
were mad everyone died. And it's did you not
pick
up
it? Pay attention
yeah,
to
did you not know everybody was going to die when you saw Episode 5? Because Leia said everybody died to get this information. And everyone's mad in Rogue One when everybody dies. But, yeah.
That I saw it coming.
If you haven't seen Rogue One, by the way, spoiler.
Spoiler alert. This whole episode is spoiler alert. Now, I do want to talk about Darth Maul. Because you're going to be really disappointed about this, Blake, because the guy who played Han Solo is signed in for two more movies, which could mean two things. There's going to be a Solo trilogy. Or, hear me out. Darth Maul is going to be the main center point for the next few Star Wars stories, which include Boba Fett and Obi-Wan.
Now, I could deal with a Boba Fett movie, an Obi-Wan movie, and
coexist these things.
Now, I don't know how they would fit Boba Fett in there, but what if the Obi-Wan movie...
tons of fan fiction back
heck yeah. I mean, I don't read it, but I believe you. But what if the Obi-Wan movie was centered around him, you know...
In the interim years?
Him and... Yeah, in between episode 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Because the... What's the guy who played him in the prequels? Or at least in episode 3. Because he said he was open to doing that movie. But... It could be centered around him.
3 in Rogue One.
Might as well say 3 and
4, because technically...
You're correct. I'm sorry. Anyway, it could be centered around him hunting down Darth Maul, or vice versa, because obviously, you know, Obi-Wan's the one who sliced him in half. Now, Mace Windu. Darth Maul wants revenge.
But he hates the Empire, too. Let's keep that in mind.
He does.
Darth Maul hates the Empire, too.
And
because,
someone brought up a question earlier when I was at work. They were like, so does Palpatine know that Darth Maul is alive? And what's going on there? That would be something interesting to go into. Like, what is the Empire doing about him? And then what is Obi-Wan doing about him? And that would be a good
question. Well, because that's always been a big
Darth Maul's perspective.
Question as to, can the Sith be split in their motives, which
everybody's
already
been, No, this one, one Sith. There's one Sith and one apprentice.
Well,
you can't.
Sith is centered around the dark side.
And then they have
that
a network.
There's always been a discussion as to whether the Sith could have split motives.
Oh, they, I think they could have the same motive, they just don't, like, want to work together.
Well, clearly, if he hates the Empire, he's not going to work with Palpatine.
Obviously.
But...
Well, if he wants it for himself, there you go.
He doesn't succeed in that part.
If you haven't seen any
Star Wars
Star Wars ever, Michelle.
Oof.
Let's get into your theories on Infinity War.
Infinity.
I mean,
yeah.
We could be
so
good.
If you haven't seen Deadpool 2 or Infinity War or probably any movie that has to do with Marvel Cinematic Universe, spoiler alert.
Or if you haven't been on YouTube and seen any of the fan theories,
basically. So, if you. Just a little recap on the end of Infinity War. Half of the Avengers die.
Half of everybody dies.
Half of everybody dies because of
a snap around the world.
The snap hurt around the world. That's, I like that. Is that something from the comics you just
around
the
universe?
Around
the universe.
It
absolutely
died.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
There's a play on American history.
Yes, I know. Anyway, if you've seen Deadpool 2, Cable is a person from the future who has a time watch. Yeah, you can call it that. But it's like wrapped around his hand like a strap. And towards the end of the movie, you see Yukio and the other girl fix it within the X-Men mansion, the Charles Xavier
Teenage
School.
Megasonic.
Teenage Megasonic Warhead or something. So they fix it, and towards the end, Deadpool uses it to like fix all the problems in the beginning, which totally like makes the whole movie
exactly
irrelevant, you know, because that's what Deadpool does. Now, this is, saves Wolverine from the horrible Deadpool, shoots Ryan Reynolds in the head before he reads the Green Lantern. it was so good. Anyway,
so good.
In the set photos of Avengers 4, you see all of the Avengers in their Avengers 1 gear.
Throwback gear.
But in their throwback gear. But they have something on their hand that looks exactly like the time thing that Deadpool has on his hand. Also, it has an X on it. Like the design, there's an X in it. And I'm like, come on. Either that is such the biggest convenience ever, or Disney's trying to do something to intertwine these movies together or make some kind of weird reference, so I'm still on time travel.
I think like maybe Ant-Man might pop up. Like maybe we already know Captain Marvel is gonna pop up.
I know Ant-Man is in Avengers 4 for sure.
Wasp.
And the Wasp.
Why? Hornet.
Wasp.
She's the Wasp.
Wasp.
Yeah.
Who might say?
The Green Hornet?
That's
with Seth Rogen?
Yeah,
no, he's not going to show up.
Different universe.
That would be fun, though.
That'd be hilarious.
Anyway.
It is about time for a crossover.
It is.
DC
it is.
Marvel.
Yeah.
DC just for,
yeah.
Sell
just for their
an extra ticket or two.
Disney buys Warner Brothers. Oh, no. Anyway.
They have to do something with time, though. You're right in that. They have to do something with time.
Yeah, and that thing on their hand. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like it's way too convenient.
I still say they have to run Quantum Worlds.
Oh, I mean, I'm still with you on that. I'm not like pushing that out. We were talking about how Ant-Man, because you said this is what they do in the comics, goes into the Quantum Realm to go into the Soul Stone to take all the Avengers souls who are in the Soul Stone out, which makes sense. And then you're talking about them going back in time to whenever they first saw the stone and destroying it, so it never happens.
Well, it's hard for
like
them
that.
To destroy it, but they could take control
Scarlet
of it.
Scarlet Witch,
yeah.
Anyone could. I'm just
theoretically, Tony Stark is supposed to be able to like create an Infinity Stone.
That's weird.
Like,
I know there's like a seventh Infinity Stone within the comics, which is really weird.
The big fan theory is that Tony Stark will take control of the Soul Stone.
That's
a big fan theory. Like, he will take it from Thanos right before, like if they travel back in time to preempt Thanos from getting all of them together, they'll take the Soul Stone from Thanos and use the Soul Stone against Thanos to stop him from taking all the rest of them and putting them together during the snap.
Neat.
But in order to do that, he has to sacrifice somebody he loves.
Mm.
Requirement of the Soulstone.
Himself.
No, he would kill Pepper.
I know.
He would either kill Pepper or he would kill Cap.
Can't kill Cap.
I don't think it would be Cap.
Yes.
You can't kill Cap.
You can.
They're not as close.
He's not Cap anymore. Civil War. He is no longer Captain America. He has lost that.
He's just Steven Rogers.
Steve Rogers.
He's just Steve Rogers. He has to pass Captain America to somebody else. Now, he can become Ronin.
That would probably
which
make more sense.
People,
right.
he probably was going to become Ronin.
You're right. He probably would
like,
kill
what?
Steve Rogers instead because Thanos already had to kill his girl.
Yep.
To that would make more sense.
Yep.
Mm. Okay.
Regardless, we're interested to see if the time travel.
That's I'm big on time
we
travel.
We still
got to
figure
that
out.
That is the thing.
Well, and the cool thing is, if they do use the X-Men to bring it into,
oh my
allows
goodness,
them to tie the X-Men into
oh
the cinematic universe, which is exactly what I want. Because
which
oh, I want
so,
X-Men
so here's the thing. Here's the thing though. If they end up doing that, you know, using that same time travel device that they show in a Deadpool movie, you can't just do that and not bring an X-Men in there just as a reference or something like that.
Well, X-Men's a big part of,
but they haven't been able to do it up
yeah,
until now.
Of Marvel.
Well. Specifically, Thanos, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, he gets Deadpool to kill all the mutants.
But they haven't been able to do it until now because they haven't had rights to X-Men.
But now all of a sudden, now it's like that could change the game like that.
Do you think Disney's
no
going to Disney's gonna buy Fox just to tie in X-Men?
Worth it.
I think they'd do it.
They
I would do it. It's Disney. I mean,
now, I know they've talked about.
Has all the rights.
They've
yeah,
talked about like
that,
adding
yeah.
him in, like you know, 5 or 20 years from now. But but I mean, like, why? Why wait? You know?
Why not cash in that cash cow right now?
I guess I don't know. Like I know how planned they are about all these movies and upcoming stuff to how it all makes sense. But I mean, you have a monopoly like this. I mean, why not use it for the fan base at least?
We're already so far off any comic book reference. They can do
mm-hmm.
well,
anything.
They're tying so many things in from the comic books. Allowing them to take in all the X-Men storylines is
mm-hmm.
just... It's logical.
Like,
it makes sense.
It, in time, like, it's weird because now the movies are going from X-Men and Avengers to, like, X-Force
yeah.
is what I think they want their next plan to be. And... whatever the next Avengers team would be,
right.
which is going to be really interesting to see how that.
They can't
be whoever's left.
Basically,
if they can't do that because the next logical team would be Defenders, and all the Defenders belong to the TV.
Yeah.
Cinema, the TV yeah. universe.
I wish they would
they wouldn't go that far. They haven't even introduced them yet. Yeah, there's no way they would.
They're in the same universe. They've confirmed
the Defenders
it.
Defenders do
but...
come in with Thanos.
Yeah, I wish
yeah.
they were in Infinity War.
They're not
or at least Daredevil.
They're not going to.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
So, like, is the Captain Marvel cutscene at the end, is that more of a tease to her own movie, or is that more of a tease to the next movie? Because she really wasn't that important.
Both, probably.
She really wasn't that important.
Because, you know, I think it's teasing the next Avengers movie, but at the same time, we need to figure out where the heck she came from.
Yeah, but we have a bunch of
and where
Marvel.
She's been.
She was, like, what, the third?
I don't know. The first Captain Marvel was in D.C., just pointing it out.
She wanted to get on that track.
And they're making a movie about him, even though his name is Shazam.
Technically, it's Mar-Vell, if we're going to be Captain Mar-Vell.
That's fair enough, yes. And then, what, not copyright, but like there was a lot of lawsuit against that, and then Marvel won, because, you know, their name's Marvel.
For those of you that don't know, there is a split down the middle of the table. And on one side is the Marvel side, and on the other side is the DC side. And
are you DC?
They're fighting each other right now.
I'm alone on the DC side because Cole just left, which isn't surprising. You know, a lot of people hate on DC, but they're comics.
It's DC.
Shut up. Because I don't know. I've always been a bigger fan of the darker, more serious.
They're
comics.
Definitely darker.
Yeah,
Deadpool 2 even like when.
Yeah, Deadpool 2 made a reference. It was in the trailer.
Who was he fighting?
Cable.
Oh yeah, because well,
Cable
like,
was totally
you're so
like, going
dark.
Ham
are you
on
from
him.
The DC universe?
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
That was pretty.
See,
that
he
was
made
funny.
I love Deadpool.
Yep.
That is one of the few reasons
so
that I might
funny.
Consider Deadpool
which
my top five.
Because he made
because
so
he
many...
can do the whole
You can do anything
outside
you want.
Of the frame of reference,
yeah,
joking
say,
about comics.
My favorite part in Deadpool, because I'm biased, was probably when Cable, you know, he said, "Who are you?" And he goes, he looks at him, he says, "I'm Batman." And he just leaves. And I was like, he did not just say that. And it was probably amazing. That was really amazing.
It's good to know that Deadpool is willing to die for something now. Okay. And Deadpool too, because
mm-hmm.
like before
he becomes quote the good guy, you know, just like Solo.
That's gonna change.
Oh
Deadpool
yeah.
Deadpool still has to be Deadpool. He's not gonna say
otherwise. There's no Deadpool 3. He has to get in some kind of trouble.
Are they gonna do a Deadpool 3?
I mean, probably.
Or are they gonna go straight into X-Force?
That's a good
yeah.
question.
Stupid question. Are you a football fan?
Soccer?
Yes.
No.
Are you a football fan?
A little bit, yeah.
Did you see the Manchester United Deadpool?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
see
it's
that.
So amazing.
Did you see all the DVDs and Blu-rays in the store
yes.
that has Deadpool's
yes.
face on it?
Michelle sent me a picture of that. Like,
was so
all the
crazy.
Edward Scissorhands, like all these
yeah.
other movies. And it's all
Assassin's Creed,
yeah, it's
X-Men
Deadpool.
First Class.
So good.
And then on the back
so
of that,
good.
I saw this online, but on the back of X-Men First Class is the picture Deadpool, and he's saying, "I wasn't in this movie, but I wish I were." And I thought that was hilarious.
It was so good.
Like, because in the Manchester thing, he said at the end, he's like, "You got to double your advertisements or else you're going to be buried by Infinity War." I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Deadpool's marketing is endless. They can do
they
just
can do anything they
do
want.
Anything
well,
they want.
And
Deadpool.
Because they can literally offend anybody they want to. Like, that's
exactly.
the beauty
and
of...
And it's like, it's Deadpool. What do you expect yeah. us to do with them? Like, of course we're going to offend you with Deadpool. We're supposed to offend you.
Even if you don't like Deadpool, you have to love the marketing.
So good.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So good. Everything
creative and also slightly obnoxious in his own way. 3 minutes left? All right. This has been an interesting. I liked this one. This was a good geek episode.
It was a good geek episode.
Anything
so,
else you want to? Oh, yes.
To
yes,
finish up the geek episode,
yeah.
because I'm the only person that's probably enough of a geek to have actually read the comics, The Walking Dead.
I read the first three volumes.
They're so good. Like, the comics are so
mm-hmm.
amazing
mm-hmm.
for their ability to look inside the human soul.
Yes.
But the TV series, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, spoiler alert, for those of you that may not know, Andrew Lincoln may be leaving next season.
Confirmed he is leaving
confirmed.
Next season.
Yes, sir.
AMC had not yet confirmed. They
enough,
only confirmed
enough
that he had
serious
six,
people
six episodes of next season. And I'm like,
six?
Really, AMC? Six episodes? Really?
That's a spawn of like a whole day in The Walking Dead TV universe.
So for those of you who have stopped watching Walking Dead because of Carl and Rick.
Carl!
You can come back now.
Yeah. No, because I was really, I couldn't wait until Rick left to see Carl's storyline when he takes over the main character. Like,
nope.
And then, whoosh! Okay, take away that from us.
But that's a good way for them to differentiate the TV from the comic.
Oh, it's already
like, now they. I mean, they're
me.
Yeah, they're different universes.
There are people that should be there
movies.
And people that have never existed. But whatever, you know,
whatever.
People still watch it somehow.
It's not like it's Marvel; they can do whatever they want.
They, I guess so. Their CGI isn't as good either. Also, I just want to, just because this happened yesterday, and I'm also like a big video game person, because we haven't talked about video games. Alright, 90 seconds remaining. Anyway, Fallout 76 was just
yes,
confirmed. You
just confirmed.
Yes,
confirmed.
I was, did you see the trailer though?
The trailer was amazing.
It was interesting. I can't wait.
It's probably the best Fallout trailer I've ever seen.
They're going a different way though.
Do you think
right?
it's going to
yeah.
be like an all new game totally?
Yeah, I think it's
yeah.
going to
be.
After
really,
what they did with God of War 5,
yeah.
like, for sure. Like,
awesome.
People are going to start
I
catching
can,
on to that.
The next
they're
big
like,
one for me after that is going to be Elder's. It's going to be good. Anyway,
so,
we've reached the end of the geek episode. I think it went really well.
Two.
Clint, part two. Clint, we miss you so much, and we wish you were here. Spoiler alert for the last time. I guess we can't wait till part three when this comes out. Anyway, if you're in the metropolitan Birmingham area, you can come find us at Metropolitan Church of God every Sunday night conclave. Conclave View just ended, so no more of that. Or also
it'll
Sunday
be back.
It will be back next semester, but Sunday mornings as well, you can hear Jason Browning speak. Got you. 30 seconds. But if you're not, that's okay. You can follow us on social media. We are, I know, but I got to tell myself so it's in my head. But we're on social media. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And you can also find us on Blog Talk, iTunes, Stitcher, Conclave Radio. We are at Conclave Metro. And I think that concludes episode 31, geek episode of Conclave Radio.